Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
The Old Testament reading is recorded in the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, beginning at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of God, of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, the first 12 verses. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him. and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and they reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember driving to the office that Tuesday morning. I was listening to KFUO radio in St. Louis when I pulled into the parking lot. And I also had heard a special news bulletin that came across the radio that morning on the way in. And as soon as I heard it, I immediately popped out of my car because my wife had just gotten to the school before I had been there. And I yelled across the parking lot to her, asking her, did she hear what happened? The first thing that, you know, she was coming over and I was talking to her about one of the Trade Tower buildings had been hit by a plane. I remember she and I kind of looked at each other, remembering what we had heard on tours that we had taken at the World Trade Center, because it always stood out in my mind. And that's when the tour guide said, "This building could be hit by a plane and never come down." Well, we knew it was going to be tested that day, September 11th, 2001. I think most of us know exactly where we were and what went on in the moment that we'd heard about the 9/11 attacks. Remembering vividly the events that surrounded us as the militant Islamic terrorists had come and hijacked 2 commercial planes and crashed them into the World Trade Center in New York City. It was 102 minutes the world will never forget. That's how much time passed between the time that the first tower was hit and that same tower actually was the second tower that came down. Today, we have a nation of people that are collectively saying, "Let us not forget. Let us not forget what happened on September 11th, when over 3,000 lives were lost and countless of lives were changed in 102 minutes. You know, interestingly enough, as I was looking at some of the readings to see whether or not it would connect with what the nation is celebrating as the 10th anniversary of the attacks, I couldn't help but notice what God wrote through David's hand in Psalm 103, telling us, "Let us not forget." Verse 2 again reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And let me tell you, according to just this one psalm, there's quite a list of benefits that he lists here. You can see them for yourself as I remind you again what they are. Kind of condensed, though. The psalmist writes, "He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies you with good. He renews your youth like that of the eagle. He works righteousness and justice for you. He is merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger toward you. He does not deal with you as your sins deserve. He does not repay you according to your iniquities. He shows you compassion. And there's a few others yet that I did not list that were listed there by the psalmist. You see, all mankind was attacked by a terrorist way back at the beginning of creation. Even as we cannot forget the significance of 9/11, so also we will not forget the day our world came crashing down, the day when man fell into sin. And God's word tells us to let us not forget that God has always been in the business of freeing us from the terror of our own sin, the terror of the temptations brought to us by the evil one, the terror of the sinful world and our own sinful flesh. Is there anything more terrifying than receiving the news that you will suffer punishment for the rest of your life and you will surely die? That was the promise God kept to our first father and mother. And he followed through when they disobeyed. And God remembers that day too. We can hear that he remembers it just in the passages that we had here in our text. Listen again to verses 14 to 16. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. God knows our situation. And he has compassion. Have you ever got so wrapped up in a movie that you really wanted to see that bad guy get everything he had coming to him? I would have to say a movie that really captured me that way, probably more than any other, is the movie The Count of Monte Cristo. In this movie, the star of the show is falsely accused, and he's arrested and then thrown into a political prison. He's arrested for a crime he did not commit. As a political prisoner, he underwent torture for many years in that prison. He was set up by those who put him away so that he was not able to tell anyone of their crimes against their country, so that he would not be able to expose their iniquities. Well, this innocent man finds a way out. He does actually escape the prison. He disguises himself and he looks for the opportunity to torture the men who had wrongfully put him in that prison. His ultimate goal was revenge, to take their life as his life had been taken from him all those years that he spent in prison. Watching this movie, you want him to get all the revenge he can possibly get for those scumbags that put him there. Along with this man who wanted revenge, the audience also got a sense of what it was like to be prosecutor, judge, and executioner. Oh, it felt good to see those evil men get what they had coming to them. Everything they deserved. The movie seems so harmless until you read the passage here in Psalms in verse 10. God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. Every time that you and I turn our back on God and live our lives for ourselves, living in opposition to his will, we deserve nothing but punishment and death. You see, in our sins, we are the bad guy. Living a life of sin, living life without a care for anyone but ourselves. And God is our judge. He could easily take revenge on us and treat us according to what our sins deserve. He could repay us according to our iniquities. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to condemn others who should be treated according to theirs. Just like the hero in Monte Cristo, Jesus is our Savior, is our Redeemer. He too was treated unfairly by the Roman and Jewish governments. He was falsely accused and arrested for a crime he did not commit. He was beaten and taken away to be tortured and suffer for us. Unlike the Count of Monte Cristo, Jesus was tortured to the point that he actually died, that he was actually put to death in a manner that matched the sacrificial offering that God wanted him to be for us. But Jesus was placed in a grave that was sealed, and he broke free from that 3-day prison and took revenge on our enemies that terrorize us. Sin, the devil, death itself. The psalmist reminds us in verse 17, "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to their children's children." Praise God, he does not treat us as our sins and iniquities deserve. 10 years ago today, in just a very few minutes, the world was changed, especially our world here in the United States. Even if we wanted to forget, we probably couldn't, and the media definitely will not allow us to. Today, the world is reminding us not to forget. Let us not forget how vulnerable we have been as a free nation. Let us not forget all the freedoms that we've lost since that day. Let us not forget the heroes who gave their lives for others. Let us not forget. Let us not forget all the blessings and miracles that happened that day and the days that followed. And yes, even in the face of this horrific tragedy, there was great blessing to be found. My wife, as you know, lived in Staten Island. Her family is from there, and she had actually extended family that worked on the top floors of those two buildings. And earlier that year, my wife and I had a wedding invitation to attend the wedding of her nephew on September the 8th, that Saturday. And we were not able to attend because of family commitments and the job and the distance and all of that. Anyway, her nephew's fiance worked on one of the very top floors of one of the buildings. We knew that. And so did her father and a number of his employees. So, of course, when the towers came down that day, we called in a big panic, wondering if they ever got out safely. Well, her nephew's bride was on her honeymoon, so she wasn't there that day. Her dad never missed a day of work, but he stayed home that day to return all of the wedding items from the weekend before. By the grace of God, their lives were spared. Even in the face of such a horrific event, the blessed hand of God could even still be seen after looking at all the rubble. Today, God's word reminds us that even in a world that has fallen and crumbled as a result of sin, God still comes to us and freely brings us all his benefits. And not even the crashing of buildings and war or any kind of destruction will ever take that from us. Not even the most brutal death can steal these blessings. As I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon, at the beginning of the world, another horrific event had taken place, the fall of man into sin. It was to a terrorist attack. The attack that caused man's fall into sin brought death and punishment on all people. The terrorist was Satan himself. Today, we still live in the rubble of that fateful day. Because of sin, our life with God has been shattered. But all is not lost. There is still great hope. In spite of our sin, God showed that he still loved us and began to rebuild our lives with him, picking us up out of the rubble and the debris of our sin. He cleaned up this sinful mess by placing the sins squarely of all people on the shoulders of his only son, Jesus. And about 2,000 years ago, in the matter of just a few hours, the world was changed. That horrific event on the cross offered us all the eternal benefits of God. Jesus was not only put to death for our sins, but our sins were buried once for all, carried as far as the east is from the west, conquering death once and for all. We have been made new again, recreated now to live forever. Let us not forget. And just as the Lord reminds us in this psalm, he wants us to remember all his benefits. And that's why we're here again today, to celebrate again all of what God has given us, that our children may know and our children's children may know. He has worked justice and righteousness for us, forgiving our sins for Christ's sake. As you can see from all the reports and all the specials on television, we as a nation will continue to lament this day. We'll remember to take a moment to see and remember that fateful day. But we can also remember again this day as we hear God speak to us all his benefits in and amongst all the rubble that happens in our lives. And we can boldly sing and say with King David, as we did earlier as we read that psalm together, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding, encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.